Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette with Mission Africa. And by the Lord's grace, it is my blessing to worship Him in the teaching and preaching ministry of the Scriptures today. It is my great joy to meet with you, dear friend, as the year 2021 is upon us. Our text verses are found in John chapter 6, so please turn with me in your Bibles as you can to John chapter 6 in the New Testament. I'll soon be reading verses from the New King James Version of the Holy Bible. Friends, learn more about our ministry, Mission Africa, at missionafricajk.home.blog. Hear now the word of the Lord from John chapter 6, the New King James Version of the Holy Bible. Verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And verse 2. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. That's through verse 3. In verse 10, then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And in verse 11, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise the fish as much as they wanted. And verse 19, so when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. Verse 20, but he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." In verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled." And verse 27, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Verse 35, and Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Verse 41, the Jews then complained about him because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." Verse 53. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Verse 60. Therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" Verse 65, and he said, "Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." Verse 70, Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you the 12, and one of you is a devil?" Friends, let us pray. Father in glory, thank you for your goodness to us. You are the Lord of all time. All that exists is in your hand, and you control it and give attention to all of your creation constantly. We bless you, Lord, our Father. Thank you for your unfailing care, that you never sleep, that you are always attentive to all things, and that your Son has come in the goodness of God to save a people for your glory and for their eternal happiness. We bless you and praise you for the truths that we find in John chapter 6 and for the hope we have as we face the challenge of a new year in these difficult times. But our trust in you is such, and our hope is such, that we know that by your mighty power and grace and mercy and love, you will prevail over all things again this year, and you will bring good to your people. How blessed and righteous you are. Bless the teaching and preaching. Most of all, bless your precious word to us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. the new year of 2021 is upon us, I remember the goodness of the Lord. Psalm 100, verse 5, which simply says in three words, God is good, is perhaps my most favorite verse in the Bible. I remember long before I came to Christ, if I thought about God at all, thinking that there isn't goodness in God's creation. But when the marvelous grace of the Lord Jesus Christ raised me up in spiritual life, when I believed in my heart in Christ and turned from my sins, when I repented, my heart was open to see the reality that the Lord is good and that His goodness is seen everywhere in His creation. John chapter 6 is, I believe, a great chapter in which we see the goodness of God. Here, Jesus, the bread of life, who has words of eternal life, shows us the goodness of God. He is, in a real sense, the goodness of God incarnated before us in John chapter 6. And we find that God in His goodness in verses 1 through 14 in Jesus Christ feeds the 5,000 people, the great multitude in the wilderness. We find in verses 15 through 21 of this chapter that Jesus, Almighty God and man, walked on the sea and calmed the storm. And we find in verses 22 through 40 that the God-man Jesus Christ teaches that men who have sinned and must die for their sins are in the greatest need of His salvation, that they may eat the bread of life, that they may come to know God and take part of Jesus Christ, the true spiritual food that saves men's souls. We also see in these verses an expression of the goodness of God that Jesus Christ communicates to us, and we understand the importance of His signs. He works miracles, true miracles that only God can work in this chapter. And He identifies these signs as the true work of God, because He, the God-man, Jesus Christ, only does the Father's will. He never competes with His God. He never competes with His Father. He never disagrees with His Father. He always does what the Father sent Him to do. In a remarkable sign here, Christ identifies Himself as the antitype to the Old Testament manna, that is, bread from heaven, which sustained Israel in the wilderness wanderings. There, manna is a type of Christ. Here, Christ identifies Himself as the bread of life, the antitype. Also, in His great sign of feeding the 5,000, we see the goodness of God at work in the provision of God giving man his needed daily food. And in the giving of this sign, the Lord teaches that He is the bread of life. He alone can give true and eternal, never-ending spiritual life. And He alone is the God-man who will raise the dead to life at the last day. We see the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ also in His dialogue with the unbelieving Jews who grumble and complain about Him, because He says, I am the bread which came down from heaven. In their unbelief, they see only a man, Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother they knew. They did not believe His word that He came down from heaven. And we see the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ as He teaches and as He tells them the truth of His nature, of His personhood, that indeed He is God's provision of life, and that they must take Him into themselves, into the inner recesses, the deepest part of their being, as bread would go into a man's belly. They must receive Him into themselves believing in him. And in this, he pictures believing in Christ as eating his flesh and drinking his blood. At this point, in the face of such clear spiritual truth, and in the face of the holiness of God in their very presence in Jesus Christ, the Jews quarrel among themselves. How can this man give us flesh to eat? But the Lord patiently continues to teach and explain that he is life, that he is sent by the living Father, so that all who believe in him shall not perish and die as their Jewish ancestors died in the desert, but that whoever eats him, the bread of life, the true bread from heaven, will live forever. We see, too, the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ, once again, his great patience, his compassion and care to speak of the mysteries of the kingdom of God with his disciples who simply did not understand what he was saying to the unbelieving Jews about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Some of them grumbled against him and left him. They were offended that he said this. And in his goodness, Jesus calls out to the 12, asking them, "Will you also leave?" He says there, praise God, "the very truth of God, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." These spiritually alive words save men's souls and give them the gift of eternal salvation and forgiveness of sins. In his goodness and great wisdom, Jesus knew who those were who did not believe in him and who would betray him. He says to them clearly that no one can come to him unless it has been granted to him by my Father. That's such an important truth to hear in Uganda today. No man can come to Jesus Christ unless his Father has granted them access to Jesus Christ. In his goodness, Jesus Christ teaches about and reveals the sovereignty of God. He tells them that no one can come to him, no one can even believe in him, unless God sovereignly works by his choice to save them from their sins. And he knows about Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, who will betray him. Jesus there, in his goodness and truth, speaks of Judas Iscariot as being a devil, though he is one of the 12. In his mighty goodness, we see in verse 37 that Jesus says, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out." The clear declaration of Jesus Christ that whosoever will drink the water of life freely is welcome to it, and all who do drink of the water of life freely shall live. We see here his declaration that he will always receive sinners. Jesus Christ has never not received a sinner. Every sinner who has come to him, believing in their hearts and repenting of their sins, has been saved by Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ saves the people that come to him. Indeed, these are revealed to be the ones that the Father has given him to save. That the Father gives him these, and these alone, come to him. The great sovereign God is working to save his people. He alone can save a sinner. And the great sovereign God saves every sinner that comes to him who believes and repents of his sins. In verse 30, the mighty goodness of God is seen in that Jesus says he will raise his people up from death. Death cannot keep his people. Death cannot hold his people. All who truly believe in him will be raised up at the last day to everlasting glory and blessing. In the face of the goodness of God and the good declaration of God, the open door that Christ gives to the sinners, gives to sinners to come to him, we see the evil of the unbelieving who reject him in this chapter in verses 41 through 53. They have no heart for him, his person, or goodness. They reject his person. They have no heart for his life, his way, his salvation. They reject his life, his way, his salvation. His crucifixion offends them. He speaks and shows them the reality of their death and their sinfulness and that they must have him to live. They stumble at this point and again refuse him. Though they are men who must eat for the maintenance of their lives and they understand clearly the meaning of bread, they reject him when he declares that he is the bread of life, that his life is given to save and sustain people's lives. The unbelieving reject Christ and trusting him, that is, they refuse to believe in him. They refuse and cast off a personal union with God through the good Lord Jesus Christ. They reject the Spirit of God who is pleading with them, bringing a measure of conviction through Jesus Christ. When Jesus, in his goodness, tells them that if they come to him, he will save them, they reject him. When God's Spirit reveals the true nature of Christ, that he is truly God and man, they again reject him. They reject his nature. They refuse to admit their sinfulness, their need of him, and their need of salvation. They refuse to trust in Christ. They think that Jesus Christ makes too much of himself. They see him merely as a man and not as an esteemed man, simply the son of a poor man, Joseph. And in their rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are in fact stating their heartfelt belief that God is not and that he is not good. These are damning lies. It is little wonder that men who believe such things and who reject Jesus Christ are damned. They choose their damnation. They reject Jesus Christ. They do not choose the Lord Jesus Christ. In verses 60 through 70, in the very presence of the good Lord, the unbelieving people stumble to their harm. They are offended. That is, they reject with scorn the Lord Jesus Christ. He appears to them as extremely undesirable, as to be avoided at all costs. At this point, Christ has become to them a stumbling block, and they stumble and fall. If Christ is a stumbling block to a man, finally, his destiny is sealed. He is lost forever. But to all who receive him, the good Lord is welcomed as the Savior of the world, as the loving God and merciful King that he is, as the one who forgives them and gives them life and happiness and eternal blessing. Jesus Christ, his gospel, the terms of his gospel, offend those who don't believe in him. His cross offends them. But Jesus says, if you are offended at my statement of deity, you are fleshly. What offense will you have if I reveal my deity in ascending back to where I came from in heaven? The unbelieving here are offended also, because the signs of Christ, the miracles, offend them. They are offended by his truth, by his words. But the Lord's signs and his truth validates and verifies his person, all that he says and does. This is irresistible evidence that the truth of Christ's doctrine is indeed the truth of God and must be heeded. Jesus, in his goodness, says his words are spiritual. The very Spirit of God attends to the Word of God, of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. His words, the declaration of truth, is of the Spirit, belongs to the Spirit, from the incorporeal being of God, the very Spirit of the living God. Jesus tells them the truth. It is the Spirit that animates the body, that gives life to the body. And yet, his goodness, his truth is misunderstood. This is the unbelieving man's mistake. He does not have ears to hear spiritual truth, so that at the spiritual level, he is incapable of hearing the words of God unless the Father grants it that he may hear. Wonderfully, the good Lord Jesus Christ tells us about God's sovereignty and election, that is, God chooses all who come to him. Indeed, that God alone can choose who comes to him. The giving of life is God's alone to bestow, to give to any man. Sadly, because the doctrine of election is greatly misunderstood and rejected by many people, even professing Christians, men make choices that they believe to be supreme and are lost forever because God has never chosen to save them. But when God chooses to save a man, that man is eternally saved, eternally secure in Christ Jesus. In verse 66, the Lord speaks of the goodness of God with the profound question, "Do you also want to go away?" That is, to go away from him. Here we see the truth that the Father alone gives people to the Son to save, and that the Father and the Son alone choose those who will come to him and be saved. Ultimately, there are only two responses to Jesus Christ always in this world until the end. That is, that men will either trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, come to him in repentance, and be saved, or men will reject the Lord Jesus Christ to their eternal destruction, to their damnation. Dear listener, what is your response today to the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe in him, or do you reject him? Is your faith such that you repent of all sin? Or is your rejection such that you do not repent of sin? The goodness of God, it's like honey to our mouths. The great Jonathan Edwards, America's premier theologian, has written about the goodness of God. The redeemed have all their objective good in God. God himself is the great good which they are brought to the possession and enjoyment of by redemption. He is the highest good and the sum of all that good which Christ purchased. God is the inheritance of the saints. He is the portion of their souls. God is their wealth and treasure, their food, their life, their dwelling place, their ornament and diadem, and their everlasting honor and glory. They have none in heaven but God. He is the great good which the redeemed are received to at death, and which they are to rise to at the end of the world. The Lord God, he is the light of the heavenly Jerusalem, and is the river of the water of life that runs, and the tree of life that grows in the midst of the paradise of God. Edwards also helps us to see God's goodness in that God, as the Creator, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, are glorious and they are delightful. God has glory in the creation. God takes delight in the creation. The creation reflects and integrates his glory and delight. And he is glorified in this. He is praised in this. God's born-again people, the church, the new creation, does fully and gloriously reflect and integrate fully the glory of God and His delight. And while God is glorified in and receives praise by, and He has delight in the creation, His highest glory and His highest delight is in the new creation, in the holy beings, in the holy elect angels, and in His born-again sons. God is praised by the new creation. God is glorified in the new creation. God delights in the new creation, and the new creation delights in Him. If anyone is in Christ, the Bible says, he is a new creation. And the new creation enjoys and loves Him. And especially and particularly, the new creation loves Him by virtue of their redemption through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's being ultimately must be described as good. The Lord, in the essence of His being, is good. And God's internal glory, that is, the glory that He has in Himself, is expressed in the outward emanation of the creation. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His goodness endures forever. And so God's inner glory and delight is outwardly expressed in the creation, and especially in the new creation. The good Lord delights in the creation. The good Lord is everywhere in the creation. The good Lord's attributes are seen in the very existence of the creation. The good Lord's creation reveals Him to men. And the Word of God especially and particularly reveals His nature, His saving nature to men. The Lord's goodness is also seen in that He judges sin and He saves sinners. The Lord God, in His quintessential goodness, ultimate goodness, especially and particularly delights in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's purposes are fulfilled in the creation, but particularly and especially fulfilled in the new creation. God is highly glorified. In fact, it is right to think that all that exists or has ever existed, all that God has ever created, has been created for the new creation, that the sons of God are saved and revealed to be the sons of God for the glory of God. In this, all that God has ever created is used to diffuse His glory and delight abroad in the new creation. Those who are saved in the Lord Jesus Christ are made especially the objects of His glory and delight in His mercy. And His creatures glorify Him and come to enjoy Him by virtue of the goodness of the Lord and His great work to create us and to save us in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that it is the goodness of God that leads men to repent of their sins, to turn to Him, to come to Him. And as we face another challenging new year of 2021, with great hurdles probably before us all, the call of the gospel is to look beyond these troubles, which is not meant to minimize the great problems that we are all experiencing. But I say that to mean to look beyond them in the sense of looking to the Lord in His goodness behind these great troubles. Trouble is God's wake-up call to people. And God proclaims truth about himself and calls sinners to himself, to his gospel, particularly in great and difficult and troubled times. So God's call to you today, dear friend, is clear and unmistakable. And if you have ears to hear the call of God. He says to you, come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved from your sins, and come and delight in the glory of God. Come and taste the goodness of the Lord. Come and see that he is good, that he created you for glorious fellowship that he intends that you should enjoy forever in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He created you that he might lavish you with his saving love and pour out upon you all goodness to work all things together for your good now and forevermore. So those who have ears to hear, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of your sins and know that the Lord is good. Friends, let us pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. I am encouraged, I am strengthened by your very truth, by the exercise of my spiritual gift, to know that you are good, Lord, and I cling to you, and I rejoice in you, I delight in you, I love you, and I eat you as the best bread and drink you as the best drink, Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you would bring salvation and eternal life to your people, to those who have ears to hear and eyes to see you in your glory. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless your word to the hearts of your people who have come to taste and see once again that the Lord is good. Help us and strengthen us as we face the challenges that are before us in this new year, and call out to us in the midst of great troubles, perhaps, that are coming, that you are the Lord, the giver of life, the creator of all things, and the savior of the world, that you have a deep and abiding love for men, for sinners, and that you call out so that all who hear and come shall be saved. Glory and praise to you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name that I pray, amen and amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.